Chapter 3. Threat. This chapter summarizes the operational environment, presents existing and emerging threat aerial tactics, and identifies the air and missile threats facing the Army and joint warfighting forces. The air and missile threats, the focus of this chapter, are addressed in terms of generic capability descriptions. The air and missile threats to be countered by ADA systems are ballistic missiles, large-caliber rockets, cruise missiles, air-to-surface missiles, hypersonic weapons, UASs, manned fixed and rotary wing aircraft, and rockets, artillery, and mortars. Electronic warfare and cyber and threats from space are also addressed. Operational environment. An operational environment is a composite of the conditions, circumstances, and influences that affect the employment of capabilities and bear on the decisions of the commander, JP3O. The operational environment encompasses the five domains of air, land, maritime, space, and cyberspace. Space and cyberspace are relatively new domains that individually impact all other domains. Space technologies are proliferating throughout the world. Adversaries have developed their own systems, while commercially available systems allow almost universal access to some level of space-enabled capability with military applications. Army forces must be prepared to operate in a denied, degraded, and disrupted space operational environment. FM3-14. Cyberspace supports, enables, and integrates operations for Army and joint forces. Cyberspace includes and considers friendly, enemy, adversary, and host nation networks, communications systems, computers, cellular phone systems, social media websites, and technical infrastructures. While cyberspace enables friendly communications capabilities, it also creates critical vulnerabilities which adversaries and enemies can attack or exploit. Cyberspace and the electromagnetic spectrum will grow increasingly congested, contested, and critical to successful operations. Army forces must be able to effectively operate in cyberspace and the EMS, electromagnetic spectrum, while controlling the ability of others to operate there. FM3O. Army forces must also be able to operate in degraded conditions in the other domains. The worldwide availability of advanced military and commercial technologies and information may allow adversaries opportunities to acquire, develop, and employ chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear, seaburn, weapons. Such situations could also expose U.S. forces to seaburn threats and hazards. Seaburn threats and hazards have the potential to cause personal injury, illness, or death, equipment or property damage or loss, or mission degradation. Seaburn threats include the intentional employment of or intent to employ weapons or improvised devices to produce seaburn hazards, FM3-11. Seaburn hazards are those elements that could cause an adverse effect through accidental or deliberate release, dissemination, or impacts, FM3-11. Seaburn hazards present physical and psychological effects well beyond the immediate target area. See FM3-11 and JP3-11 for more information. As noted in FM3O, the operational environment is in a constant state of flux for each commander in their respective operational area, when at any time, friendly or enemy operations are initiated or curtailed. What is more of a given, regardless of the turmoil inherent in these environments, is that the United States will face a peer threat. In the past, U.S. forces have enjoyed relative advantages over their adversaries with superior capabilities in each of the domains. However, adversaries of the past have become peer threats, capable of challenging U.S. operations in all domains. Peer threats generate tactical, operational, and strategic challenges that are an order of magnitude more challenging militarily than other adversaries. Potential adversaries are investing in anti-access strategies and area denial capabilities to counter the U.S. ability to project military force into an operational area with sufficient freedom of action to accomplish assigned missions. The concept of anti-access area denial is to control the access into and movement within a region. Preclusion, the combination of anti-access and area denial methods, seeks to influence the ability of an enemy, outside the region, to introduce forces into the theater and sustain combat power. Many countries are pursuing weapon systems, such as ballistic or cruise missiles, which enable anti-access area denial. To deter current and potential adversaries from achieving these objectives, the United States must maintain its ability to project power in areas where access and freedom to operate are challenged. From a pure ADA perspective, operational environment considerations are focused on the air domain, while maintaining an awareness and understanding of the potential impacts of actions within the other domains on AMD operations. The air domain challenges to Army operations include increased threats from traditional ballistic missile capabilities. The ballistic missile threat has increased both quantitatively and qualitatively, and is likely to continue to do so over the foreseeable future. Our known and potential adversaries will continue to challenge both the proficiency and sufficiency of U.S. ballistic missile defenses, due to the resulting improvement in ballistic missile technical sophistication, increase in inventories, advancement of countermeasures, and growing proliferation. Expanding spectrum of air and missile threats. Within the last decade, the air and missile arsenal of today's adversaries has become more robust, diverse, and complex. Not only do our adversaries have access to the increasingly sophisticated ballistic missiles, but they also have a growing array of cruise missiles, UASs, and easily attainable and lethal RAM. All of these air and missile threats must be addressed by Army and joint AMD forces within the context of anti-access area denial operations, and of defeating increasingly sophisticated countermeasures, electronic attack, and cyber efforts. Threat tactics and objectives. The threat will attempt to develop an overmatch in an area to mitigate the capabilities of the U.S. force. Traditional tactics of massing fires to overwhelm a defense and surveilling or attacking from any direction and altitude will continue to be employed. In massing fires, for instance, the threat will launch more missiles against a defense than the defending Army or joint AMD force can engage. Cruise missiles, UASs, and fixed and rotary wing aircraft have freedom of maneuver through 360 degrees in support of both attack and intelligence, reconnaissance, and surveillance operations. Threats will prioritize AMD forces and control elements as high-priority targets. Advanced electronic attack, in which a threat system jams or spoofs across the electromagnetic spectrum in an attempt to hamper an ADA system's ability to detect or engage a threat system or missile, will also be employed. And as the ADA force becomes more network-centric, a sophisticated cyber attack could potentially hamper the AMD network's ability to support the detection, identification, or engagement of a target. The threat will continue to exploit the use of countermeasures tailored to the attacking platform and the AMD capabilities being countered. Ballistic missiles may employ decoys, in-atmosphere maneuver, which may also aid accuracy of delivery, and electronic jamming pods. Air threats may employ electronic jamming and spoofing, flares, chaff, and other penetration aids. Penetration aids are devices carried on air and missile objects and/or tactics used to counter AMDs. ADA forces must be knowledgeable of the various types of countermeasures that could be employed and prepared to defeat them. An emerging tactic is a complex integrated attack, which is designed to overwhelm defense of a site by the employment of different capabilities. Simple attacks that send one threat type at a time against a defense are more easily defeated in detail, as a defense can concentrate its capabilities against the specific operational characteristics of that type of threat. For example, when ballistic threats attack within a sector of the defense's coverage, the defense is able to concentrate surveillance and firepower into that sector. However, when out-of-sector cruise missiles are integrated with ballistic missile attacks, the defense must counter the combined effects of the total attacking force. A complex integrated attack is a synchronized attack of a friendly asset by a mix of air and missile threats arriving near simultaneously from different directions, altitudes, and ranges. This mix may include any and all air and missile threats, from ballistic missiles to RAM. The defending force's surveillance and firepower must be capable of defending throughout the entire 360 degrees, if focused on only one threat or sector, for example, the ballistic sector of attack. The complex integrated attack will destroy or significantly damage the defended asset. Complex integrated attacks will likely be supported by enemy activities in other domains, such as jamming efforts in the cyberspace domain and special operations forces attacks in the land domain. Theater air and missile threats. The emerging air and missile threats encompass a wide range of missiles, rockets, projectiles, and air platforms. The number of countries developing weapons of mass destruction is unconstrained, and delivery systems with increasing range and accuracy are being sought and developed. Compounding these threats is the potential for or initiation of electronic and cyber attacks. Air and missile threats encompass ballistic missiles, air threats, and rockets, artillery, and mortars. A ballistic missile is any missile that does not rely on aerodynamic surfaces to produce lift and consequently follows a ballistic trajectory when thrust is terminated. JP3-01. Air threats include manned, fixed, and rotary wing aircraft, UASs, and aerodynamic missiles. Rockets, artillery, and mortars comprise the indirect fire threat. Ballistic missiles. Ballistic missiles are a means to project power in regional and strategic contexts, and they provide a capability to launch an attack from a distance. Ballistic missile proliferation continues, and countries are acquiring a greater number of ballistic missiles, increasing their range, incorporating ballistic missile defense countermeasures, and making them more complex, survivable, reliable, and accurate. Ballistic missiles can be used as anti-access weapons by potential regional adversaries. These weapons can be used to reduce military options for combatant commanders and threaten the survivability of regional military assets. There is an increasing threat of the technologies falling into the hands of other countries and hostile non-state groups. Ballistic missiles include close-range ballistic missiles with ranges up to 300 kilometers, short-range ballistic missiles with ranges up to 1,000 kilometers, medium-range ballistic missiles with ranges from 1,000 to 3,000 kilometers, and intermediate-range ballistic missiles that range from 3,000 to 5,500 kilometers. These are surface-launched missiles with ballistic trajectories. Ballistic missiles, often launched from highly mobile, difficult-to-detect transporter erector launchers, can carry nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons. Most are single-stage missiles with an estimated circular error probable accuracy of 0.1% of the range. State-of-the-art guidance technologies, such as the Global Positioning System, can increase this accuracy to less than 50 meters. The most proliferated of these missiles are the close and short-range ballistic missiles, which are available to more than 30 states and non-state actors worldwide. Ballistic missiles are inherently difficult to defend against. Characteristics that increase their survivability include a small radar cross-section, high terminal velocity, short notification time for defending forces, a variety of difficult-to-kill warheads, and an all-weather launch capability. With the introduction of penetrations aids, such as decoys, chaff, and maneuvering warheads, ballistic missiles have become increasingly sophisticated, accurate, and more difficult to defeat. Iran has steadily increased its ballistic missile force, deploying next-generation short- and medium-range missiles with increasing accuracy and new submunition payloads. It is continuing to develop new missiles and working to enhance lethality and effectiveness of existing systems with improvements in accuracy and warhead designs, to include maneuvering re-entry vehicles and submunition payloads. North Korea has expanded the size and sophistication of its ballistic missile forces, from close range to intercontinental variants, and has conducted an unprecedented level of nuclear tests and ballistic missile launches since 2016, including its short-range, medium-range, intermediate-range, long-range, and submarine-launched ballistic missile, SLBM, launches. In February 2016, Pyongyang launched a satellite launch vehicle. The technology involved in a satellite launch would be applicable to North Korea's other long-range missile programs. In 2016 and 2017, North Korea conducted an aggressive testing campaign, launching multiple intermediate-range ballistic missiles with a range greater than 3,000 kilometers. Today, North Korea fields hundreds of Scud and Nodong missiles that can reach U.S. forces forward deployed in the Republic of Korea and Japan. Large-caliber rockets. Large-caliber rockets, classified as those of 200 millimeters and greater, are unguided, surface-launched, indirect fire rockets with ranges greater than 40 kilometers. They can be fired from single or multiple launch platforms. In the past 20 years, large-caliber rockets have increased in range, some as much as 300-plus kilometers, and now, with enhanced guidance packages, are morphing into close- and short-range ballistic missiles. Rockets can deliver high rates of fire and a variety of warheads, making them ideal weapon systems for fire support missions. The highly mobile launchers can rapidly move around the battlefield. This mobility, coupled with the rocket's short burn time, gives maneuver forces little warning. Their short range and salvo capability complicate engagement by current AMD systems. Like ballistic missiles, large-caliber rockets are found in many countries. They are inexpensive and have been used against United States forces in Iraq and against Israel forces and its general population. North Korea has a 300-millimeter multiple-launch rocket systems that can easily range Seoul and many U.S. forces stationed in South Korea, including those at Osan Air Base. Aerodynamic missiles. Aerodynamic missiles use lateral surfaces to maintain their flight path. Aerodynamic missiles include cruise missiles and tactical air-to-surface missiles. Cruise missiles are unmanned, self-guided vehicles that maintain sustained flight at one or more predetermined constant cruise altitudes and have ranges from 30 to 3,000 kilometers. Tactical air-to-surface missiles are similar to air-launched cruise missiles, but are smaller, have shorter ranges, lack the wings and aerodynamic lifts associated with cruise missiles, and are launched by tactical fighter-bomber aircraft. Though regarded as distinctly separate threats, the application of new technologies has given cruise missiles and tactical air-to-surface missiles virtually identical capabilities. Cruise missiles. Modern cruise missiles can travel at low to supersonic or high subsonic speeds, are self-navigating, and can fly non-ballistic trajectories at very low to very high atmospheric altitudes. Cruise missiles can be found in two general categories: land attack and anti-ship. Cruise missiles are generally very expensive and have complicated navigation devices, two considerations which minimized their proliferation. Regardless, many nations have shown an increased interest in obtaining the ability to produce these missiles after seeing the U.S. success in employing the land attack variants. Cruise missiles are the hardest air target to detect and intercept, which makes them particularly well-suited against static ADA systems. Cruise missiles are reliable, accurate, survivable, and lethal. They can be launched from the land, air, or sea. They are difficult to detect, can fly indirect routes at low altitudes to avoid heavily defended areas, and can attack from any direction. Today's cruise missile can hit a target with remarkable accuracy. Tomorrow's smarter, maneuverable, more accurate missile will pose a far greater threat. Cruise missiles are ideal for striking high-value targets in highly defended areas, since aircraft and aircrews are not put at risk. The use of air-breathing turbojet and turbofan engines has given cruise missiles a longer range and the capability to fly at high subsonic speeds and altitudes lower than 50 meters above ground level. Their flight paths can be programmed using sophisticated guidance systems, such as the Global Positioning System, inertial navigation systems, and terrain contour matching. Their guidance systems contribute to overall accuracy, optimize surprise, and help avoid air defenses. A terminal guidance seeker increases accuracy to less than 10 meters. A wide array of conventional warheads, including individually targetable submunitions, allows targeting of both soft and hard targets. In addition, cruise missiles may carry weapons of mass destruction warheads. Many countries have cruise missiles in their arsenal. Some countries have nuclear-capable cruise missiles. Technological advances are now making hypersonic glide vehicles and missiles flying non-ballistic trajectories practicable. Hypersonic glide vehicles are a new class of weapon, propelled to hypersonic velocity by ballistic missile boosters. After launch, they are essentially unpowered cruise missiles. Tactical air-to-surface missiles. These missiles are air-launched, precision-guided munitions designed to strike ground targets. They are ideal against targets such as bridges that are difficult to destroy with conventional dumb bombs. Tactical air-to-surface missiles are an extremely lethal threat because of their versatility and pinpoint accuracy. Most variants employ radio command, laser, anti-radiation homing, or electro-optical guidance systems. Missiles that employ anti-radiation homing systems are referred to as anti-radiation missiles. They represent the greatest threat to radars, such as those employed by ADA forces. An aircraft firing an anti-radiation missile will usually launch from outside the lethal envelope of the ADA system defending the asset. Laser-guided systems provide the least standoff range, generally less than 10 kilometers. Electro-optical or video-guided systems and anti-radiation missiles offer the greatest standoff range and aircraft survivability. Some electro-optical systems have ranges of approximately 100 kilometers. Hypersonic weapons. Technological advances are now making hypersonic weapons practicable. There are two main types of hypersonic weapons: hypersonic cruise missiles and hypersonic glide vehicles. Hypersonic cruise missiles, which are powered by scramjet, are restricted below 100,000 feet. Hypersonic glide vehicles can travel higher. Hypersonic weapons, by definition, travel five or more times the speed of sound. Some weapon systems have characteristics of both ballistic and cruise missiles. For example, ballistic missile-launched hypersonic glide vehicles are essentially unpowered cruise missiles. Future supersonic-slash-hypersonic-powered cruise missiles may be launched by large rocket boosters that have traditionally been associated with ballistic missiles. Hypersonic glide vehicles are being developed as a new type of ballistic missile payload. They are maneuverable vehicles that travel at hypersonic, greater than Mach 5 speed, and spend most of their flight at much lower altitudes than a typical ballistic missile. The combination of high speed, maneuverability, and relatively low altitude makes them challenging targets for missile defense systems. Unmanned aircraft systems. An unmanned aircraft system is that system whose components include the necessary equipment, network, and personnel to control an unmanned aircraft, JP3-30. Threat UASs are categorized in groups, typically based on weight, operating altitude, and speed. Groups 1 through 3 are further categorized as low, slow, small systems. UASs include drones, characterized by pre-programmed flight paths and patterns, and remotely piloted vehicles controlled by ground-based operators. Some UASs may implement both drone and remotely piloted flight control types. Each can perform a variety of missions, ranging from reconnaissance and battlefield surveillance to attack and electronic warfare. UASs have extensive commercial applications, and as a result are readily available and arguably the most developed system in many armies around the world. Due to the prolific use of unmanned systems, commercial off-the-shelf UASs are readily available and can be weaponized with relative ease. There are over 1,000 current and developing UAS programs worldwide. UASs are typically comprised of a control element, communication systems, support elements, an unmanned aircraft, a payload or pod, and a human element. The control element typically consists of UAS operators and leaders providing aircraft control, payload control, weapons control, and communications supporting the commanders and staff's planning/execution requirements. It also includes the control station itself, from which the unmanned aircraft receives its commands. The control station can be mounted on tactical vehicles, in stationary and static structures, on civilian vehicles, such as vans or trucks, and on ships. It could even be placed in orbit around the Earth. Communication within an UAS is normally conducted via line-of-sight communications or satellite control. It is often encrypted to increase information protection and survivability. UASs also make effective platforms for communications relay stations due to their potentially high mission endurance and ability to avoid overfly terrain that ground-based vehicles with relay components would be unable to navigate. The support element includes all logistical systems required to deploy, transport, recover, enable, and generally sustain the UAS. The unmanned aircraft can manifest itself in a variety of types, to include fixed wing, rotary wing, aerospace, and even balloons. Typically, the larger the aircraft, the higher its endurance and the higher the altitude in which it can operate. Low, slow, and small UAS are particularly dangerous due to the challenges which they present to friendly sensor systems for detection and identification, and for weapon systems to consistently defeat them given their low/slow kinematic profile. UASs are also easily obtained commercially and inexpensive, making them even more of a threat. UASs serve as intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance platforms for target detection, identification, and location, weapon targeting, target designation, and battle damage assessment. UASs can assist commanders with early warning to develop friendly courses of action. State-of-the-art sensors and data links provide real-time targeting for fire support systems, maneuver forces, and aircraft. UASs equipped with laser designators provide immediate targeting assistance and terminal guidance of munitions. UAS platforms also can serve as a means for weapons delivery or may themselves serve as the weapon, and have been used extensively to attack high-payoff targets without endangering pilots. Threat actors consider UASs expendable. UASs have relatively low radar cross-sections, low speed, and low thermal signatures, thus making them difficult to detect, track, and engage. Mission-dictated flight profiles take full advantage of terrain, increasing system survivability and optimizing coverage. Flight altitudes for UASs vary by their size and mission and can range from meters to thousands of kilometers. UAS is conducting intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance missions operate at altitudes consistent with their sensor systems. They normally fly at altitudes safe from small arms fire and can stand off and detect from up to 25 kilometers. UAS optical payloads consist of daylight television, infrared video, and recording cameras for reconnaissance missions. Other major payload categories include electronic warfare, jammers, electronic intelligence, radar, communications relay, and attack warheads. Several nations are developing and fielding anti-radiation homing UAS capabilities, with the primary mission of attacking battlefield radio frequency emitters, radars, and communications. These platforms have a variety of launch options and are usually fire-and-forget systems. Manned rotary wing aircraft. Most countries maintain helicopter fleets to support military operations. While the majority of helicopters can be armed to perform a variety of roles, the attack helicopter poses the greatest threat to maneuver forces. The versatility of helicopters make them ideal for use in most combat areas. Threat ground force commanders rely primarily on helicopters to fulfill direct air support requirements. Helicopters can perform a variety of missions. Hovering and low-flying helicopters, taking full advantage of terrain masking, are difficult to acquire and target. An especially challenging ingress technique is nap-of-the-earth flying, in which a helicopter hovers at a masked point, dashes to the next mask point, and hovers again. This technique is challenging because of short exposure times and varying between near-zero Doppler and moderate Doppler velocities. Improvements in fire control and weapon capabilities enable helicopters to search, acquire, and fire at ground targets from longer standoff ranges, thus increasing their survivability and effectiveness. Manned fixed-wing aircraft. Manned fixed-wing aircraft remain essential to virtually every type of military operation, and despite the emergence of ballistic missiles and cruise missiles, it will continue to play a role in future conflicts. There are more than 40,000 operational military aircraft today. Of these, some 10,000, many produced during the Cold War era, are in Third World inventories. Over 50 countries have an aviation industry of some kind, and over 20 countries design their own aircraft. Manned fixed-wing combat aircraft are highly flexible and can perform a variety of missions in offensive and defensive operations. Air interdiction, strategic attack, suppression of enemy air defense, and close air support. Fixed-wing aircraft can employ a variety of munitions, including bombs, guns, rockets, cruise missiles, and tactical air-to-surface missiles. Integrated navigation/bombing computers and related mission equipment provide new combat aircraft with a precision strike capability, day or night and in bad weather. New aircraft incorporate such features as radar warning receivers, onboard jammers, chaff, flares, and a lower radar cross-section to improve survivability and mission success rate. In addition, the proliferation of fixed-wing aircraft throughout the world increases the probability that opposing forces may employ the same type of aircraft in a conflict. This exacerbates the already challenging problem of identification. Rockets, artillery, and mortars. RAM are traditional indirect fire threats to ground forces. These systems vary in size and effect. Rockets and artillery are usually fired from towed or self-propelled platforms, while mortars are frequently transported by dismounted crews. Rockets are unguided projectiles with a short boost phase and unpowered flight, and fly ballistic trajectories. The most common type of warhead is high explosive with a point detonating fuse. Rockets are commonly fired from self-propelled platforms known as multiple rocket launchers. Multiple rocket launchers may fire large volleys of rockets, 20 to 40, with multiple launchers being used in a volley. Rockets come in many calibers, such as 57mm, 68mm, 80mm, 81mm, 107mm, 120mm, 122mm, and 127mm. Their high rate of fire and volume of fire make them a stressing threat. Hybrid and irregular forces have used rockets as harassing fire, with improvised firing methods and delays to limit counterfire effects. Large caliber rockets, 200mm and greater, were addressed earlier. Artillery and mortar rounds are also unpowered and traditionally fly ballistic trajectories. All armies throughout the world have some form of artillery. The most common artillery calibers are 122mm, 152mm, and 155mm. Unless using rocket-assisted projectiles, artillery systems are generally limited to 20 to 30 kilometers. The most common mortar calibers range are 60 to 120mm, but include many variants, such as 81mm, 82mm, 100mm, and 160mm. Electronic warfare and cyber. Electronic warfare and cyber threats are continuously present throughout the tactical, operational, and strategic realms. Electronic warfare involves the use of electromagnetic and directed energy to control the electromagnetic spectrum or to attack the enemy. Electronic warfare includes electronic attack, electronic protection, and electronic warfare support. A threat will attempt to deny, degrade, disrupt, or destroy friendly emitters, radar and communications, and other electromagnetic spectrum-dependent devices. Sensors to locate emitters or to listen for information and/or intelligence can be mounted on ground or air platforms. Cyberspace attacks will target technical networks, systems, and data. For more information, see FM3-12. The most common form of tactical electronic attack is electromagnetic jamming. Jamming consists of an emitter radiating electromagnetic energy to prevent a radar receiver from discerning the expected return from the background noise, or a radio from receiving voice or data. Advanced jamming techniques allow the threat to project false location, speed, and altitude, creating confusion for radar operators. The use of an electromagnetic pulse, normally envisioned as produced by a high-altitude nuclear explosion, is a threat to friendly electronic systems. Our increasing dependence on advanced electronics systems results in the potential for an increased electromagnetic pulse vulnerability of our forces, and if unaddressed, makes electromagnetic pulse employment by an adversary an attractive asymmetric option. Electromagnetic Pulse Commission Report. In addition, several countries are experimenting with generating an electromagnetic pulse from non-nuclear explosives. ADA organizations, from the tactical to the strategic level, face multiple types of sophisticated cyber threats, whether in garrison or operating in the field. Regional powers, peer states, and transnational terrorist organizations have personnel with capabilities to conduct cyber attacks on installations and sites. Cyber attacks are expected against C2 nodes, theater and tactical data and voice networks, information systems, radars and their tracking and targeting systems, and missile guidance packages. The threat is expected to use cyber attacks in conjunction with physical attacks as part of a larger campaign. Cyber threats can prevent target detection, tracking, and engagement of threat munitions and platforms. The threat is likely to also expand attempts to penetrate networks for data collection and exploitation with a growing sophistication to conduct cyber attacks. Strategic organizations, with online missions, face multiple types of cyber threats on a continual basis. Strategic missile threats that may impact the theater. Despite the end of the Cold War, the threat of accidental, unauthorized, or limited strategic strikes against the United States continues to exist. ICBMs and SLBMs are a threat to the United States. They carry nuclear warheads and employ a variety of penetration aids. ICBMs and SLBMs pose significant challenges to active defense and attack operations forces. Some ICBMs are road mobile, reducing the time that they can be targeted, while others are designed with countermeasures to ballistic missile defense systems. Some SLBMs may be launched from surfaced and submerged submarines from various launch locations. Intercontinental ballistic missiles. An ICBM is a ballistic missile with a range greater than 5,500 kilometers and typically designed to deliver one or more nuclear warheads. Most modern designs support multiple independently targetable re-entry vehicles, allowing a single missile to carry several warheads, each of which can strike a different target. Although current ICBM-producing countries are limited, several countries are developing production capabilities. Thus, the threat to the United States continues to grow. Other countries developing ballistic missiles are also likely to build various responses to U.S. defenses. Developing countries would probably rely on available countermeasure technologies, such as separating re-entry vehicles, spin-stabilizing re-entry vehicles, radar-absorbing material, low-power jammers, and simple decoys, such as balloons. Rudimentary technologies from earlier versions of missiles are more readily available, and are adequate for use by nations not overly concerned with missile accuracy, reliability, or safety. The increased availability of technical assistance from other nations and of classified information related to ballistic missiles and weapons of mass destruction will shortcut development programs. Once launched, ICBMs are difficult to defeat. Their targets may be strategic or political, civilian or military. ICBMs will most likely use nuclear warheads, and many will carry multiple re-entry vehicles. Projected ICBM improvements include mobile basing, improved reliability, increased accuracy, and improved penetration aids. Iran's progress on space launch vehicles, along with its desire to deter the United States and its allies, provides Tehran with the means and motivation to develop longer-range missiles, including ICBMs. In April 2016, Iran launched a space launch vehicle, which could be capable of ICBM ranges if configured as such. Iran may be able to deploy an operational ICBM by 2020 if the regime chooses to do so. North Korea is developing and has paraded two road mobile ICBMs, which, if successfully developed, would likely be capable of reaching much of the continental United States. North Korea launched several ICBMs in 2017 and claims to be capable of ranging most of the continental United States with its ICBMs. Submarine-launched ballistic missiles. Submarine mobility provides launch location options unavailable to ICBM forces and makes detection difficult. SLBMs provide ICBM capabilities with the added advantages of better hiding, shorter flight times, and depressed re-entry angles. Targets will generally be identical to those of ICBMs. Projected improvements include more sophisticated payloads and guidance systems, improved reliability, increased range, and improved penetration aids. North Korea conducted multiple flight tests of a developmental SLBM. North Korea tested a new SLBM capability in 2015 and again in 2016. In February 2017, North Korea publicized the launch of a new solid propellant missile that appeared to be a land-based variant of its SLBM. The missile was launched from a canister carried on a previously unseen tracked launcher. Space. Space is the new high ground for operations. It is becoming an increasingly congested, competitive, and contested environment. Space systems are critical to the tactical, operational, and strategic levels of warfighting. The quantity and quality of foreign satellites on orbit is rapidly increasing, and foreign countries are developing counters to the U.S. space advantage, including methods to disrupt or deny access to communications, position, navigation, and timing, and intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance satellites. Employment of these threat space-based capabilities can have a significant impact on U.S. systems and their ability to execute missions. Peer competitors are pursuing space efforts for military, economic, and political objectives. They recognize the strategic value of space and view U.S. dependency on space for projection of military power as a vulnerability. They operate satellites for communications, navigation, earth resources, weather, intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance purposes, in addition to conducting manned space and space exploration missions. Over the next 10 years, hundreds of commercial or government-sponsored imaging satellites are projected to be launched. The sheer number of these new satellites, and the fact that most are foreign or consortia-owned, diminishes the ability of the United States to impose political constraints on the use of satellite imagery products. These new commercial imaging capabilities will allow an adversary to challenge the U.S. forces' ability to achieve strategic and tactical surprise and to gain and sustain information superiority. Summary. Ballistic, cruise missiles, and hypersonic weapons are and will continue to be offensive weapons of choice for many nations. These threats, as standalone systems or complemented with UAS, electronic warfare and cyber, and other capabilities described above, create formidable challenges for Army, Joint, and multinational AMD forces.